This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to the podcast, Sadhguru, of Mystics and Mistakes.
Namaskaram, Sadhguru. Our scriptures and even our temple sculptures depict many kinds of beings like Ganas and Yakshas. Are these the same beings that are visiting Manasarovar?
The only two cultures which have documented this to some extent are the Indian culture has documented it hugely. And the Greek culture has done it to some extent. About the nature, when we say beings from another realm, these are only two cultures which is describing definite forms. So here we have Yakshas, Gandharvas, Ganas, Kinnaras, Apsaras, Kritikas, and there's so many like this. I think we have well-recognized beings from other realms, at least over 11, 12 varieties of them. The Greeks also have similar numbers of probably, if not similar, maybe a little less, but they also have recognized. I think the only place, I have never entered this place, but people tell me that the best library of this kind is in Adyar, in Chennai. The Theosophical Library is supposed to have immense collection of occult books which deal with all these aspects. More than the spiritual process, it's the occult which explores these aspects, because they're always looking how to use some kind of entity which has the necessary power, intelligence and access to do things for them. They're always looking how to enslave something to use it for their own benefit. So the occult explores these things much more than the spiritual process. But in the spiritual process, I think Gautama himself talks a lot about these things. Gautama, the Buddha. Buddha himself talks about a lot of different types of beings that he faced in his sadhana, which invariably one is bound to face when they move into certain aspects. Particularly when we were in another place, lots of things have happened, but particularly when we were moving towards the consecration of Dhyanalinga, these kind of beings like were every day happening, all kinds. I'm not good at categorizing and naming them and saying this is that, but they're distinctly different, that's for sure, no question. Very distinctly different in their energy, in their appearance, in their everything. It was all there, but didn't pay attention. But elsewhere, I have paid attention to some of these things, but it is wasteful in many ways, because none of them, at least whatever I have come across, none of them would be of any spiritual significance to me. So, if I paid little attention to them, the moment I realized that's not it, I took my attention off those things, because they were never of any spiritual consequence. They were only existential consequence. If you want to explore the existence, yes. But if you want to know this, they are of no use because they're just in a different form, as ignorant as you are. Maybe with different kind of capabilities which would look incredible to you, but I'm sure your capabilities look incredible to them. Otherwise they wouldn't be visiting, isn't it? As they look incredible to you, you must be looking incredible to them. That's why they're visiting. These days I don't have this luxury. At that time, there was no wall around the house, and the morning always by like 5:45, 6 when the sun is rising, I always came and sat in the outside corridor. And temple was still not there. I'm just building the temple in my mind. Every day I sit there and gazing in the direction where it should come up. I'm just, because I don't have the money, I don't have the material, I just don't know, only what's in my mind. At that time, you know, like these creatures just hung around for quite some time. They're like irregular shapes, but all like just like two-dimensional, you know, like cardboards, walking around, moving around and making noises and just hanging around right there all the time. Sometimes I could not ignore them because they were so noisy. And it so happened sometimes that, you know, like other people in the house heard the voices and noises that I was talking to somebody, and they would come out and see that I was not talking to anybody. They cannot hear what, but they hear something. I never spoke, but they were making so many noises. You need to understand, noise means the kind of noise that we make, only we can make. When I say the kind of noise, well, the birds can make a different kind of noise, but both of us are making the same noise in terms of frequency, reasonably there. And that's why we can hear each other. There are other creatures here who are making other kinds of noises, which you cannot hear. So usually these beings are making other kinds of noises you cannot hear, but these were making noises that, like our kind of noises, that is somewhere in the frequency range that we communicate in. Either they were specially making these noises for me, or they also belong to the same category of noise making as we. I didn't explore all this because my thing was, my time was running out, my sense was slipping, so I was putting up the bricks. I sat there and putting up the bricks because my foundation was slipping away so rapidly. So, if their sound making is of the same frequency as ours, it is also possible that their thought making could be reasonably about the same frequency as ours. Their body could be reasonably of the same kind of material, maybe not exactly, but same kind. Otherwise, your eyes wouldn't so easily capture it. Well, you could see it if you're in a certain way, other things also, but not that simply, like anything else that we see on a day-to-day basis. So, are these yakshas, gandharvas, ganas? I don't think so, because they don't fit into any of the descriptions that the traditions talk about. They describe gandharvas as the most beautiful human forms, yakshas as slightly of a different kind but still reasonably human form. Ganas totally distorted. Distorted means unlike human forms. So most of the temples that you see are ganas. Why they're putting up Ganas is because Ganas have played an important role in the shaping of human consciousness, because Shiva himself is a Gana. And because he's a Gana, Ganas hung around him, he's his people. But he put on a form. He put on a form, a human form, to be effective with human beings. But his friends remained in the same old forms. His form was powerful enough, impactful enough. They could manage their work without changing all of them. So Gana forms are all over the place. Being human beings, we try to make it little like ourselves, slightly distorted, because we cannot imagine something which is totally unlike human. See, right now in front of the Bhairavi temple, two Ganas are sitting like this. Maybe they didn't look like that. But our human minds are such, a being means he must at least have a head. And then we can't, he just looks like a ball. We need two hands to make him look like a being in our mindset. If somebody has to look like a being, he must have hands, legs, everything, you know. Maybe they didn't have any of those things. Maybe what I saw was the real Ganas, that they didn't have any form like what we think of. But over a period of time, artists… How can an artist write this and say, it's a being? If I show you an irregular shape of a paper and say this is a being, you won't buy it, isn't it? At least I must cut it reasonably human sense. If this is a being, little like that, you are clearly cut like this, we'll make you like this and say this is a being, so oh, okay. At least a head and a body and some limbs, something needed, isn't it, for human mind to perceive. So over a period of time, artists might have went on transforming the forms. The point where we made a Ganapati into a Gajapati. We made a Gana into an elephant, which is a serious big change, isn't it? Not a small change, very big change. Ganapati means the chief of the Ganas, that's what it means. So it is not just he went and slaughtered somebody's head and put it. He told the Gana, okay, I'll take your head and put it in the human body, at least you're halfway effective. Now I have made myself into complete human form. If I put a human body for you, only the head we are not able to create, you will be quite effective, and he's effective, isn't it? We accepted him because he has a human body and a Gana's head. If he sat whole Gana, we kept him outside, we didn't make him, we didn't worship him. We kept the Ganas outside the temple, but we took Ganapati into the temple. Why? Because he looks like us. So he might have thought through all these things and done it. Maybe at least he needed one assistant who looked reasonably human. Isn't it so? Maybe they just came just like how we saw them in the Manasarovar, just like that in bunches. You know, simply a certain kind. They knew in that form they cannot operate. So maybe they used the local earth to create themselves, and they couldn't shape themselves properly. It went like this, like that. Even among human beings, everybody didn't come with the same shape, isn't it? So like that, they went in many shapes and they thought it's okay. As long as one man is looking acceptable, they thought it's okay. Maybe to go to a conference, he needed one more guy. So he took off his head and put it on a human body. To fulfill some immediate purpose, I'm saying.